Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you for being here this Saturday evening. You could have also been somewhere else, but at least I'm glad that you are here. So we'll start with the invocation prayers and then we'll continue. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namah Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Okay, so we'll start with the quiz. Is there anybody who was not here last time?
Gopal.
And you were not here. You were there. So whoever was not there, quiz for them. Because we have audio recordings. Right? So, what was the topic we were discussing last time? Easiest question, right? Not the details, just what was the topic? So we started with six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And which were the Goswamis we covered last time? Which we discussed last time? Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. So who remembers the name of all six Goswamis?
Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Jeev Goswami, Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhattabha.
Haribo. Haribo. So the six Goswamis are Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Jeeva Goswami and Gopala Bhatt Goswami. So we discussed two of these last time, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, and they are brothers. Now, when we say Goswami, six Goswamis of Vrindavan, why only these six are referred as Goswamis? There are many other Goswamis, right? There are Lokanath Das Goswami and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and lot of other Goswamis are there. What does Goswami terminology means? Because we know sometime here, right now, Goswami is used as a surname, last name, right? There is a famous TV reporter, his name is Goswami. Arnav Goswami. And there is actress whose name is Goswami. But they are nowhere close to being the real qualification of being a Goswami. So what does Goswami real means?
Go Swami.
So what does Go Swami means?
Go means cow.
Okay. So who is the owner of the cows? So that is one meaning of go. Another meaning of go is senses. So that's why Krishna is called Gopal, right? He is Gopal, he is protector of the cows and he is the controller of the senses. He takes care of our sense objects. So Goswami means who is the Swami, master of the senses, who has full control over his senses, all the urges of the senses, the urge to speak, to the anger, tongue, taste, belly, genital, all these different urges, who has full control over all these senses. So Goswami, the controller of all the senses, who has full control over all the senses and even the mind, that is called Goswami. So now also we see people have made Goswami as a caste, right? They say, oh, we are Goswamis, we come in Goswami, this thing. So that is not the real qualification. Real qualification is who is spiritually advanced enough to be the controller of the senses and then be eligible to gain this title of being a Goswami. So now, there are many other Goswamis. Why specifically we say six Goswamis of Vrindavan? Because there is something special, specific about these six Goswamis. One thing is, these six Goswamis are the direct followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these are not ordinary jivas who became advanced in spirituality and they became great saints. They are eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the spiritual world. And when the Lord descends, his associates also come down to help in his mission. So these six Goswamis, they are eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who descends down to take part in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, to serve in his mission. So their spiritual identity or the spiritual form, they are actually the six Manjaris. So there is something called Manjari. So there is Gopis, right? Sakhis. So there are 108 primary Sakhis of Radharani. And then the ones who serve the Sakhis, help the Sakhis in their service, are called Manjaris. So these six Goswamis are the six Manjaris. So Rupa Goswami, his spiritual identity is, he is Rupa Manjari. So like that, all these six Goswamis, they are eternal associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not ordinary jivas. They descend to take part in Lord's Leela, in Lord's activities, Lord's pastimes, to help in his mission. And all of them were instructed personally by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to undertake particular task. So we discussed last time in detail about Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Now we will continue with Raghunath Das Goswami. So very advanced personality, and last time I mentioned one other designation for Raghunath Das Goswami. He is known as what? Amlan should remember. He asked questions on that.
What?
Anybody remembers? What is Raghunath Das's designation? We said he is known as... you remember?
Result.
Prayojana.
Oh yeah.
Prayojana Acharya.
Yeah, yeah.
So Rupa Goswami is... Rupa Goswami is Abhideya Acharya, Sanatan Goswami is Sambandha Acharya, and Raghunath Das Goswami is Prarabdha Acharya. Setting an example of attaining the goal of life.
Prarabdha Acharya? Prayojan Acharya.
Sorry, Prayojan Acharya, not Prarabdha. Prayojan Acharya. Prarabdha is a completely different word. Prayojan Acharya. Sorry about that. So Raghunath Das Goswami, let's discuss a little bit about Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami was the first one, actually, among all the six Goswamis, he was the first one to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Among all these, even before Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, among all the Goswamis, one other specific thing about Raghunath Das Goswami is, all the other five Goswamis, they were born in very elevated Brahmana families. But Raghunath Das Goswami was the only one who was born in a non-Brahmana family, kind of in the family of businessmen. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, I said they were born as the Brahmanas, but they were engaged in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah. So they were kind of converted into Muslim Islam to work under him. So Raghunath Das Goswami, he was born 1495. There were two great businessmen in West Bengal that time in a particular city called Saptagram, close to Shantipur. And the two businessmen, two brothers, were Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar. These were two brothers, very great businessmen that time. And the father of Raghunath Das Goswami was Govardhan Majumdar. At that time, the rule was as a Muslim rule. Again, as I said, the whole East Bengal and West Bengal was under the Muslim rule. And the Nawab, these two brothers, they leased the whole port, the Saptagram port, from the Nawab, because he did not want to get engaged with all this export-import things, all this at the port, all these ships coming and all. So he leased this whole thing, and the price they were paying for that lease was their whole income at that time, and that was 12 lakh rupees annually. Now can you imagine, 12 lakh right now, if you hear, may not seem like a big amount as a yearly income. We are talking about 1500 time, 1495, right? At that time, 500 years before from now, 12 lakh rupees per annum as an income. Even 30-40 years back, I remember when my mom used to tell me, their salary used to be in hundreds of rupees, not in thousands of rupees, right? Maybe 300-400 rupees were used to be the salary. So they were annually earning 12 lakh rupees, and that was the price they were paying to lease the port. So they were big businessmen, very wealthy. And Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath was born in the family of Govardhan Majumdar. Now, at the early age, when he was a very young boy, he learned from Balram Acharya, who was a great Vaishnava in their village that time. So Balram Acharya taught Raghunath in the basics of Vaishnavism, the devotional principles. And he had always heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his childhood. And when he was just 10 years old, he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming to Shantipur, which is just few kilometers away from the place he was living in. So he desired to go and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was about 10 years old that time. And that was just about after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. So the news came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken sannyas. And when after taking sannyas, he started traveling. He arrived in Shantipur. And they heard that he is in Shantipur. So he also wanted to go and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went there and he knew Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, he had met Haridas Thakur earlier. Who is Haridas Thakur? Haridas Thakur is also associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also known as Nama Acharya, who is always chanting the names of Krishna. Even though he was born into a Muslim family, but he took into the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So Haridas Thakur, he had heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Haridas Thakur earlier. So when Mahaprabhu came, he went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he went into the house where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying, and he finally got darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he lived there for few days in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's why he is the first one, even before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, he is the one who at very young age met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that time he expressed the desire that I want to serve you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you will get the right opportunity at the right time. Right now you should go back to your home. Their parents, when he was exhibiting this devotional attributes from so young age, his parents were always scared that, oh, he is so young and he is the only heir of our whole family. He was the only son in the whole family, Mazumdar family. So they were thinking, oh, he is supposed to take care of the business as he grows up. But looks like from his symptoms that he wants to dedicate his life in the spiritual life. So they were a little scared and they always tried to convince him, oh, you should take care of the family, you should take care of the business, this, that. So that time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you should go home, stay with your family. At the right time, you will get the opportunity. So at that time he came back after staying for 10 days. And then he stayed in the family. Five years later, again Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he finished the tour, so first 6 years after initiation, after sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled throughout. Right? If you remember from when we discussed about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So first 6 years after taking sannyas, he traveled throughout. So when he started his travel, that time he came to Shantipur. And when he finished his whole travel, at that time he again came back. So that time again, Raghunath Das expressed the desire, I want to go and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so eager to take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his family was very reluctant. But somehow, he convinced them, no, let me go, I will come back. So he again went, he again took darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again got his mercy. And then he, finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after staying with him, he said, no, still go back. And he was telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please keep me in your association always. I want to serve you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, right now you go back home and right time you will come to me. So again he came back. So this is just kind of map showing where the Saptagram is as a seaport, how far it's from Delhi. So that time again he came back. Now his family, his parents, he thought, this boy, he will always keep running. He will not stay at home. He is very renounced personality. We have to kind of tie him in the family affairs, in the family life. So they married him at that time, so that he will be tied up with the wife and he will stay at home rather than thinking of renouncing everything and going away. So they married him, but still there was no change in his life and his thought process, his spiritual inclination. So after some time, after a couple of years, he got the news that Nityananda Prabhu is in the Saptagram. This is previous one. So he got the news that Nityananda Prabhu is in Panihat. Panihat is again a little village, little far from the Saptagram where he was staying. So he got the news that Nityananda Prabhu is there. And Nityananda Prabhu is? Who is Nityananda Prabhu? Anybody remembers? So Nityananda Prabhu is also associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is form of Balaram. Right? So he again wanted to go and meet Nityananda Prabhu. As he went, he came to meet Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu, seeing Raghunath Das, he says, you are a thief. Why he is saying you are a thief? Even though he is a businessman, he has a strong inclination. He is calling him, you are a thief. You are a big businessman. You have so much property and you are keeping it to yourself. Not engaging in the service of Krishna. You are becoming completely renounced with all that property. So I want to punish you. So what was the punishment? He pulled him close by and he put his foot on his head. So in one sense it was mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, giving him mercy. And then he turned to all the devotees assembled there. He said, this Raghunath Das, he is a big businessman, he has a lot of money, and he will arrange for everybody to serve everybody. He will arrange a big festival to serve everybody. And Raghunath Das, when he heard this, he got very happy that, oh, somehow now I got the opportunity to utilize my money in service of Krishna, to serve the devotees. So he immediately sent his servants, brought all the ingredients. So what was the, so there is a festival even celebrated now in remembrance of that festival called Festival of Panihati Festival and the Festival of Chip Rice. So he bought a lot of chip rice, yogurt, condensed milk. So they arranged to serve two items to all the devotees there. What are the two items? Chip rice with condensed milk and chip rice with yogurt. So they served two pots to everybody. And the pot was served to Nityananda Prabhu also. And at that time, when the feast was going on, everybody is enjoying and calling out to the names of Krishna, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, everybody is chanting. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared there, even though invisible to most of the people. So at the request of Nityananda Prabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also appeared to accept the offering of Raghunath Das. And Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they both are enjoying this feast. Now Raghunath Das, he completely surrendered unto Nityananda Prabhu and he told Nityananda Prabhu that you are the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is your property. No man can approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without your mercy. So he is exhibiting a very great quality or a very great principle here that Lord Krishna, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are accessible only by the mercy of the spiritual master. We cannot approach Krishna with our own direct endeavor. We have to approach through the medium of spiritual master. And Nityananda Prabhu is what is called?
Adi Guru.
He is called Adi Guru. So all the spiritual masters are expansions of, they have the kind of expansion of the Nityananda Prabhu. So Nityananda Prabhu is called Adi Guru. So to approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one need the blessings of spiritual master. So Raghunath Das completely surrendered unto Nityananda Prabhu. If you give me your mercy, then finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept me in his service. So at that time, Nityananda Prabhu gave his blessings. He already put his foot on his head that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will get direct service or direct association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this festival, we still celebrate this festival sometime in our temple also. This happened sometime in May-June time frame. Okay, festival of Panihati. It's also called Danda festival. Danda means punishment. Not Danda as rod, Danda. Danda means punishment. So because Nityananda Prabhu called, I will punish you. I will give you punishment. And what was his punishment? He actually gave him blessings. So after that, he came back and he was now completely in his heart. He has no attachment to family life, no attachment to business, nothing. And there was one other event which happened was because these two businessmen, his father and uncle, Hiranya Majumdar and Govardhan Majumdar, they were paying 12 lakh rupees, but they were so expert that they expanded, they increased their income to 20 lakh rupees per annum. By collection of the tax and import-export, all these taxes and all. So, the person who was in charge before them, before they leased the port, so he got very envious. And he complained to the Nawab that, oh, these guys are earning much more than what they are paying to you. So, they are cheating you. And so, he kind of filled his mind with all this poison. And Nawab sent his soldiers to catch these two brothers, Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. And when they heard the news that our soldiers are coming to catch them, Govardhan Majumdar was already away for some other place. Hiranya Majumdar, when he heard, he also ran away to escape from that. So only Raghunath Das was at home that time. And the soldiers came. They caught Raghunath Das because he is the part of the family. He is son of the these two businessmen. So they caught Raghunath Das and took it to Nawab. And at that time, Raghunath, he gave a nice discourse to the Nawab, telling about the equality of living entities, the universal brotherhood of all the living entities. He said, doesn't matter if somebody is a Muslim or a Hindu or something, ultimately everybody is son of God. In that spirit, everybody is brother. So he gave a nice discourse to the Nawab, and Nawab had tears in his eyes. So he got convinced about the saintly qualities of Raghunath Das and that he is not at fault. He accepted him as his own son and he let him go. He freed him, he came back, and he gave the ownership of that business, basically seaport, back to the Mazumdar family. So they continued with that business. But Raghunath Das was already exhibiting the renunciation qualities, that I have nothing to do with this business, nothing to do with family life. His mother was thinking, we should tie him with ropes with the pillar, otherwise he will run away. So his father said, if all this property, all this big property cannot hold him, such a beautiful wife cannot hold him, keep him, then there is no other way we can hold him. So there is no point in tying him with ropes and all that. Let him do whatever he is. We will just hope that he stays in the family life. Now, Raghunath Das was always looking for opportunities to run away from his family life and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is right now living in Jagannath Puri, where he spent last 16 years of his life. But his family, they had some bodyguards assigned to Raghunath Das for his security and keep eye on him so that he doesn't run away. So wherever he will go, these bodyguards will stay with him. So once Raghunath Das, on the pretext of meeting his family guru, they had a family guru called Yadunandan Acharya, something like that. I think it was Yadunandan Acharya. So they had a family priest or family guru kind of person, Yadunandan Acharya. So on the pretext of meeting Yadunandan Acharya, going to his house to ask about some rituals, he went there, and the soldiers also did not doubt, oh, he is just going to guru's house, so let's go there. So he went there, and then from there he escaped. He ran away from there through the jungles to go to Jagannath Puri every day. So he will go like 50 miles, 100 miles each day, travel, so that the soldiers cannot catch him. And the soldiers are thinking, oh, he is just staying at the Acharya's house, family priest's house, so they did not worry about that. Next day when they went to Yadunandan Acharya's house, asked about Raghunath Das, he said, no, he has already left from here, he is not here at my home. So then they got doubt. They came back, reported to his father that, oh, Raghunath Das is not here. So his father thought, I'm pretty sure he has gone to Puri, because right now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is staying at Jagannath Puri. So I'm sure he has also gone to Puri to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he sent his soldiers or his servants to go find Raghunath Das Thakur, Raghunath Das. But Raghunath Das was going through the forest area. Took about 10 days to reach Puri. By that time, the servants went to Puri. They did not find Raghunath Das and they came back. So finally, Raghunath Das, he came to Puri. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him in his service. So he assigned him in the care of his personal secretary, Savrup Damodar. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal secretary was Savrup Damodar. So he said, you are the assistant of my, what do you call, as a assistant kind of, so sub-assistant. So he started serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Savrup Damodar. Now, he was completely showing the symptoms of renunciation. He was not utilizing any of his family wealth. What he will do is, he will go stand at, I'm not even moving these slides. Okay, this will come later. So he was stand in front of the main door of Jagannath Puri temple, Singh Dwar. And there he will stand there and just give back whatever people, sometimes people will give, right, to the renounced people or saintly people there, they will give whatever prasadam or something there. So he will just stand there and beg from people there, and whatever he could collect, then he will bring back and serve to Swarup Damodar and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after some time, he thought, oh, this is very predictable. Here a lot of people come and everybody sometimes something or other give, and they, after some time, they start recognizing the person who is standing there, and they come every time and personally give. So this is not nice. So he stopped staying there and he went far away into the market, into the marketplace, where sometime they will throw the leftover prasadam. The after it gets stale or something, they throw that. So he will stay there and try to collect from there the thrown out, the stale prasadam. And he will sustain himself just utilizing that prasadam. And once he got some stale rice, just wash those rice and put some salt and try to eat that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came there. He said, what is this nice feast you are eating by yourself without partaking with us? So he says, no, this is not the feast. This is not fit for you to eat. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, whatever you are eating, of course that is fit for us to eat. So he grabbed some and he ate that. He said, this is the best feast or best prasadam I have ever ate, because of the dedication or the sincerity of Raghunath Das Thakur. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepting all that prasadam. So after some time, when finally his father came to know that Raghunath Das is in Puri, so he again sent his servant and he sent some money that let him stay comfortably there. If you want to stay in Puri, that's okay, let him stay comfortably. So the servants came, brought all these gifts which his father had sent. Raghunath Das did not accept anything. He just took some little bit money through which he could serve, managed to serve Swarup Damodar and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he rejected everything else. And that also he did for only for some time, maybe a couple of months. After that he again stopped accepting all that. So he stayed there for some time, and after that, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had finished his leela, he came to Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's last instruction was that you should go to Vrindavan. Your life is my property. You should utilize your life in my service. So he came to Vrindavan, but he was so feeling separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did not want to live anymore. He thought, let me jump down from Govardhan Hill and give up my life. I cannot live without the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he was thinking like that. And then finally Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they stopped him. They said, your life, remember the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your life is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's property. You cannot give up your life. We have a very nice service for you. And the service is, because you have associated with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for so long, you know a lot of his pastimes, what activities he did, or whatever you have heard from Swarup Damodar, who was personal secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So our desire is, every day you narrate to us some of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then Raghunath Das accepted that proposal. So Raghunath Das accepted that proposal. So every day for 2 to 3 hours, he will sit down and narrate the stories, the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all the devotees sit down and relish all that. So 2-3 hours of a day he will tell the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and remaining of the time he will be just chanting the holy name. He will chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And from his early life, he had demonstrated the qualities of being a renounced person, no attachment to family life, and very austere person. When he was traveling from his place, ran away from his place to go to Puri, he took 10 days, 10 or 12 days, passing from the forest to come to Puri. Those 12 days, he ate only, total out of 12 days, he ate 3 meals. We eat 3 to 4 meals every day. He ate 3 meals total in 12 days. And this was his austerity he did. and that was going to set a stage for his future life, as austere life he did. And in Jagannath Puri also, he was just accepting little bit of thrown away prasadam, stale prasadam. So when he came to Vrindavan, he was completely austere, no attachment to sense gratification, no personal comfort. All he was eating was once a day, little bit of buttermilk. That's all was his intake in terms of food. He will take little bit of buttermilk every day. That's all. And all throughout the day, he will be chanting the holy name. So most of the time, he stayed mostly in the Govardhan area, mainly at the Radha Kund area. So there are two very famous kunds in the area of Govardhan Hill, Radha Kund and Shyama Kund. This is a very nice pastime, how these kunds were built. Anybody knows the stories? You know the story? So, I don't want to go into too much details, so we'll discuss that story maybe some other time. So, Radha Kund is the kund which is built by Radharani. Basically, the excavated by Radharani, filled up with the endeavor of Radharani through all the holy rivers. All the holy rivers appeared basically and filled that pond. And same way, Shyama Kund is excavated by Krishna. Again, he called up all the holy rivers at that place and filled that kund. So Radha Kund and Shyama Kund, two very holy places. See, Radha Kund is the most holy place throughout the Brajabhumi, Brajadham. In Nectar of Devotion explained the whole Vrindavan Dham, Brajadham, and out of that, Radha Kund is the holiest of all places. So Raghunath Das, most of the time he will stay at the Radha Kund and he will do his bhajan. He did not have any hut or anything where he will sit inside and do his bhajan or sleep there. He will just sit outside in the open area, do his bhajan. So there is a very few of the very nice pastimes. Once he was doing his bhajan, completely absorbed in the remembrance of Radha and Krishna. He was staying in front of Radha Kund at that time. So Radha Kund and Shyama Kund are adjacent to each other, like next to each other. There is a small pagdandi in between. So he was sitting in front of Radha Kund, completely absorbed in remembrance of Radha and Krishna. At that time, a tiger and tigress came there to drink water at the pond, at the kund. Because that time, 500 years back, it was all kind of mostly forest area. Right now, if you go to Vrindavan, it's kind of a city. You don't see much of a forest. Earlier, it was mostly as a forest area. So, complete open area. So, one tigress came there drinking water and Raghunath Das sitting next to little few feet away. And at that time, Krishna personally came and stood in between the tigers and Raghunath Das to protect his devotee. In his meditation, so that his meditation, his remembrance does not break. So that is Krishna's vow also, or Krishna's, what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also. Remember that shloka, chapter 9, text 22. Yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Right, I preserve what you have, I carry what you lack. So Krishna personally come to protect his devotee. So Sanatan Goswami happened to pass from that area. And he saw, Krishna is not visible to anybody and everybody, but Sanatan Goswami, because he is also completely self-realized, he was able to see Krishna standing and guarding for his devotee. And later on, when the tigers left, when Krishna also left, Sanatan Goswami came to Raghunath Das and he told him about the whole incident. That how come you are taking service from our master? We are supposed to serve Krishna and you are taking service of Krishna. He has to personally come to protect you. You should better build a hut for you so that you stay inside, no danger of the animals coming and attacking you. So Raghunath Das heard about it. He thought about it, but then he forgot. Or kind of did not pay too much attention to it. Again, after some time, he was sitting in complete like open sunshine, summer time. So hot, he is completing sitting in a sunshine, and that time Radharani personally came and gave the shade of her sari on the head of Raghunath Das so that he can sit comfortably in this hot sun. So she is perspiring, transcendental perspiration, and Raghunath Das Thakur, he is completely sitting absorbed in his meditation. That time again, Sanatan Goswami happened to see Radharani personally standing and shading for Raghunath Das Goswami. So after she left, he again came to Raghunath Das. This is too much. Earlier you engaged Krishna in your service. Now you are engaging Radharani in your personal service. She has to come personally and shade you so that you can sit comfortably. So better you build a hut for yourself. So finally then Raghunath Das, with the help of the Brajbasis there, he built a small hut for himself to sit inside and do the bhajan. So that's from where actually the bhajan kutir system started. Bhajan kutir is like a small hut where this renounced person, saintly person, they can sit inside the hut and engage in their bhajan. So he finally built that. So there is another very nice pastime about Raghunath Das. As I said earlier, Raghunath Das was completely renounced. Only his only diet intake throughout the day was a little buttermilk. Nothing else. So once Raghunath Das was in a deep meditation, and in the meditation he cooked nice feast, nice sweet rice to serve Radha and Krishna. So he built the nice kheer, he offered it to Radha and Krishna, and then he, in his meditation, it's going on all in his meditation, Manas Puja. So after that he took some prasad. And he liked the prasad very nice. Oh, very nice kheer. So he ate little more. It's all in the meditation. So he ate little more. Like that he ate lot of kheer in his meditation. After offering to Radha Krishna, he took lot of prasadam. And in the afternoon, he used to sit down and talk about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So people came to hear about pastimes, Krishna Katha. And that day, Raghunath Das did not come out of his hut. And some people went inside and he complained that I am having stomach ache. I am feeling upset stomach. I cannot speak today. And the people got worried and they got the vad. The vad came. He thought Raghunath Das has overeaten. And that's why he has ate a lot of sweet rice. And that's why he has got upset stomach. So people were surprised because they knew Raghunath Das does not eat at all. He never eats sweet rice. His only meal is little buttermilk. So then they happened to come to know. Raghunath Das told, oh yes, doctor, is the bath is right. Actually, I overate. And how he overate? Just in the meditation. He transported into the spiritual realm in his meditation. He was serving Radha and Krishna. And he partook into that prasad. And in that, even though he ate in that deep meditation, he got the upset stomach. So that is the absorption of his bhajan, his meditation, his remembrance of Radha and Krishna, completely absorbed in their pastime. So finally Raghunath Das, after his 76 years of life, he passed away in 1571, and his samadhi was built where he was staying at the most time. Which area? Radhakund. So his samadhi was built in the area of Radha Kund, in front of Radha Kund, there is a samadhi of Raghunath Das Goswami. And so Raghunath Das Goswami is known as Prayojan Acharya. Prayojan Acharya is exemplary of how to achieve the goal of life. What is the goal of life? To attain love of Godhead, attain love of Radha and Krishna. So this is about Raghunath Das Thakur, or sorry, Raghunath Das Goswami. Now you want to hear about one more? We have time, right? Let's see which one is next here. Okay. So next one, Gopal Bhatt Goswami. So there are two Bhatt Goswamis, Gopal Bhatt and Raghunath Bhatt. So Gopal Bhatt Goswami was born into a Orthodox Vaishnava family. He was born in a Brahmana family in Srirangam. So born in 1500 in a Dravida Brahmana family. His father's name was Venkat Bhatt, who was a priest at Srirangam temple. You are from Srirangam? So he is your brother. So he came from a very orthodox Dravida Brahmana family. His father was a temple priest at Srirangam temple. Your family is also priest in Srirangam temple? So his father, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he was in his earlier life, he was a spiritual master who taught him. And later on, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in the tour of South India after taking sannyas, so he came to Srirangam. And at the request of Venkata Bhatt, when he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, came to Srirangam, he danced in ecstasy in front of the deity, Srirangam deity, and he fainted. So looking at the symptoms of exalted Vaishnava qualities, Venkat Bhatt invited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to stay at his home. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed there for 4 months at the house of Venkat Bhatt. Because that time it was, what is the 4 months which they don't travel? Chaturmasya. Chaturmasya is the 4 months of the rainy season, like the June, July, August, September. It's a rainy period, right, in India. The monsoon travels. So Chaturmasya, generally the sannyasis, they don't travel that time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the proposal and he stayed there for the 4 months of Chaturmasya at the house of Venkat Bhatt. And at that time, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, Gopal Bhatt that time, he got the personal association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he completely fell in love with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in those 4 months. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to leave, he wanted to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How old was he that time? 11 years. He was born in 1500, Mahaprabhu came in 1511. So just about 11 years of age, young boy, and he wanted to leave with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him, right now you stay at your home, serve your family, serve your parents, they are very nice Vaishnavas. So you should serve your parents, and when your parents leave, when they depart, at that time you go to Vrindavan and you associate with the other Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, you associate with all those Goswamis in Vrindavan. So Gopal Bhatt Goswami, hearing the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he stayed with his family, served his parents. So finally when his parents left, he also left his home and went to Vrindavan. So when he was staying in Vrindavan, he was always feeling separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had a desire that I want to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a personal form, kind of as a deity form. So in a dream, one night he had a dream, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in his dream and he instructed him to go to Gandaki River. Gandaki River is now in Nepal. So go to Gandaki River and collect Shaligram Shilas. So next morning, he started his journey to Gandaki River to go collect some Shaligram Shilas. So Shaligram Shila, what is Shaligram Shila? Anybody knows what is Shaligram Shila? Right, so they do puja of Shaligram Shila, but why? Is it just some random stone or something? What is Shaligram Shila? What is specific about Shaligram Shila? Shila means stone. So Shaligram.
We have the impression of Lord.
So Shaligram Shila is non-different from Lord. It is a manifestation of Lord in the form of a stone. Either it has some mark of the Lord on that, the mark of the face or the mouth or foot or something, so like that. So he asked him to go collect some Shaligram Shilas from Gandaki River, which is very famous river where a lot of Shaligram Shilas are found. So he traveled there. On his journey, he stayed at one Brahmana's house on the way, and that Brahmana, he did not have any child. He requested Gopal Bhatt, please give me your blessings that I get some children, and I will engage my first child, my first son, in your service. I will send him in your service. So Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he gave his blessing and he continued his journey. So he finally came to the Gandaki River. As he was taking bath in the Gandaki River, he put his kamandalu or some lota in the water, and 12 Shaligram Shilas, when he brought it out, 12 Shaligram Shilas came inside that pot. So at that time, Gopal Bhatt somehow got this thought in his mind that no, I am not eligible, I am not qualified to serve the Lord, serve these Shilas. So he dumped those Shaligram Shilas back in the water. He put them back in the water. He again took his dive into the water. He went inside the water. When he came out, again those 12 Shaligram Shilas came inside his pot. Now that time he thought, oh, maybe this is the will of the Lord. So he finally brought those Shaligram Shilas back with him. So he came back to Vrindavan. He put those Shaligram Shila in a nice basket. So he had a nice woven basket where he put all his Shaligram Shilas. So in the morning, after doing his bath, every day, every morning, he will serve his Shaligram Shilas. One day, one businessman came in Vrindavan. And he was going to all the Goswamis, all the temples, offering nice clothing, nice jewelry to serve the deities, to engage in the service of the deities. When he came to Gopal Bhatt, he said, I want to give you some offerings of these nice clothes and jewelry. And Gopal Bhatt thought, I don't have any deities, all I have is Shaligram Shilas. And Shaligram Shilas doesn't have any particular form that you cannot decorate, you cannot dress them, put them nice dresses or put some jewelry like some necklace or something. That all I have is some Shaligram Shilas. So in the night, and that day happened to be actually Narsim Chaturdashi is when Lord Narsimdev appeared out of a pillar. So that night, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he was so much into deep meditation, praying to the Lord, that I wish as you appeared out of a pillar in the form of Narsimdev, how wonderful it will be if you manifest in a person, your personal form, outside of the Shaligram Shilas. So he was, throughout his night, he was completely absorbed in his meditation, thinking like this. And in the morning he got up, so he dozed off in his meditation like that. In the morning he got up, went for his morning bath, came back, took out the cloth from the basket to serve his Shaligram Shilas. And he saw one of the Shaligram Shila was missing. So out of the 12 Shaligram Shilas, it was only 11. One Shaligram Shila was missing. And he started looking here, kind of all around, where the Shaligram Shila is, where did it go. So then he found that one Shaligram Shila has transformed into a very beautiful deity form. And then Raghunath Gopal Bhatt, he called Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They came. And then Rupa Goswami gave the name to the deity, Radha Raman. So there is a very famous temple in Vrindavan called Radha Raman Temple. So very beautiful deity of Krishna called Radha Raman. It's just 10 inch tall. It's a small deity, 10 inch tall, but very beautiful. Even though lot of archaeologists, I have heard that they try to study the stone from which this deity is made of, and the stone it is made up of is claimed that it cannot be carved, because as soon as somebody will touch it with the, what do you call that, chani or something, right, it will break, the stone will break into pieces, so nobody can carve. So this deity is Savimbhu, self-manifested deity. Sometimes people say, oh, deity patthar ka form. Bhagwan is just, God is just like a form of stone or wood or something. But there are a lot of deities which are self-manifested. It's not that somebody had carved them out of their imagination, but they have manifested by itself. Non-different from Krishna. So Radha Raman is one of that deity. So in 1542, the Radha Raman deity manifested out of a Shaligram Shila. So this is a Radha Raman temple. It's kind of inside the streets. From outside it looks like a house. So later on Radha Raman temple was built in the honor of Radha Raman deity. And this temple is kind of in the inside of the streets, looks like a residential quarter. In Vrindavan, when the Mughal attack happened, last time I told, Aurangzeb sent his army to destroy Govindji temple. So like that, they destroyed a lot of temples and a lot of the deities were sent out to Jaipur or Karoli in the care of the Rajput kings that time. So to protect the deities. But the Radha Raman deity never left Vrindavan. And the soldiers, they never attacked Radha Raman temple. They mistook it to be a house as a residential quarter. They did not thought, oh, this, there is another temple here. So Radha Raman temple was never attacked. And this deity always stayed in Vrindavan. The another speciality of Radha Raman deity, what I have heard from acharyas, is last time I mentioned there are three deities. Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan and Radha Govindji. One deity, the foot legs looks like Krishna, another deity is the chest look like Krishna, the third one is where the face resembles Krishna, right? The three deities carved by Vajranath. So Radha Raman deity is the mixture of all three deities. So which exactly looks like Krishna's form, the Krishna's tribhanga form, three banded form. And when Radha Raman deity appeared, at that time it is said there was another fire which appeared from the earth. So in 1542, and all the Radha Raman's offering, the whatever bhoga is offered to Radha Raman, whatever cooking is done for Radha Raman, that bhoga is cooked on that fire. Okay, that fire is still present now. It doesn't, never goes off. I have gone to Vrindavan, to Radha Raman temple, and if you request them, the pujaris, they will take you to the inside kitchen where you can see the fire, where this fire is burning. In the night what they do is they just cover it, and in the morning they don't have to put some lighter or some matches, DSLI, nothing. They just put another wood there and it again kind of comes out. So all the offering, all the bhoga of Radha Raman is cooked on that fire. There is a one very special offering done to Radha Raman. It's a condensed milk khoya preparation, sweet khoya kind of thing. So tasty. They come in very small earthen pots, like the clay. From the clay they make the pots, right? So very small pots filled with that khoya kheer, and they will give to the devotee who visit the temple, so they can purchase also and they get the prasadam also. So very tasty, very wonderful prasadam of Radha Raman. So Gopal Bhatt Goswami, his samadhi is next to the appearance place of Radha Raman deity. So as I said, all other deity went to Jaipur or Karoli, but Radha Raman never leaves Vrindavan. So there are special occasions. So this deity, even though it's a small deity, the place where we stand to take darshan, this deity is like very far inside on a singhasan. So from that far, you cannot see the features of the deity very clearly. So but in the morning, after the Shingar darshan, they bring the deity right in the front for the aarti. And that time one can take darshan of Radha Raman from very close and one can see the very nice, beautiful features of Radha Raman. And I have heard from another very wonderful pastime or very wonderful strange thing about Radha Raman is, even though the deity, the face, the mouth is closed, right? Closed mouth means it's like this. You cannot see the teeth of Radha Raman. When mouth is closed, you cannot see the teeth inside. But a lot of people have a claim that they have seen Radha Raman laughing. And there are some pictures also. They took the pictures, the photos, where the teeth of Radha Raman are visible. So, very, very beautiful deity, very wonderful pastimes of Radha Raman. This is what I was telling about. A lot of devotees visit the temple. And so another point I forgot to mention. When Gopal Bhatt Goswami went on the travel to Gandaki River, he stayed at a Brahmana's house. So Brahmana had said, if I have a son, I will send that son to your service, in your service. So when, after this deity had manifested, after a few years, one Brahmana came to Gopal Bhatt. That, oh, I am this person and my father has sent me in your service. He had promised you that he will send his son in your service. So I have come to help you in your service. I am come here to serve you. So then Gopal Bhatt Goswami engaged that Brahmana in the service of Radha Raman. So that Brahmana later on married and Gopal Bhatt completely gave the charge of worship of Radha Raman to that family of that Brahmana. So from that Brahmana's family, a lot of generations came. So they are all by default come as Goswami family. And the worship of Radha Raman is completely under their care. So till now, when we go to Vrindavan, to Radha Raman temple, there is some Goswami families who take turns in service, in serving Radha Raman. Like a two to week period. Because now there are many generations came out of that one family, right? His child, from that child came multiple child, from that multiple. So it whole big family generation came. So the Goswami is still coming down from their families. They take turns in serving Radha Raman. 2 week turn, 3 week turn, like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had sent once his cloth and asan for Gopal Bhatt Goswami from Jagannath Puri, which is also kept in this temple, in Radha Raman temple. It can be seen at very few occasions. They bring those items outside for people to take darshan. So we'll stop here. So we discussed today Raghunath Das Goswami and Gopal Bhatt Goswami. Very exemplary personalities. Gopal Bhatt Goswami also composed some books, but he never took credit of writing those books. All the books are published under the name of Jiva Goswami. We'll discuss about Jiva Goswami later. At that time we'll discuss a little bit. What can we learn from these exemplary personalities? First of all, most of it is stories, but there's still some philosophy, some principles also we can learn from the lives of these Goswamis. Any point? Somebody want to mention what we can learn as a quality? Having strong desire to serve Krishna. That's good.
When I went to India, people asked me this question. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and it's going to be personalities. They are married, they left their family like that and they left. What kind of example they set? So I don't know what to answer them. So I told them, they are not ordinary people, Pastor. Whatever they have given teaching, those we should follow. What they have done in their personal life, we should not follow everything because we are not them. That's what I told them. But what actually should be the answer for them?
So to from one point, this is a good answer. We should not imitate them. We should follow the teachings. We should follow the instructions. Now, why they have done that? Why they choose to renounce, leave the family?
In this picture, always it comes like follow the people. That's what their question is. They always mean follow those people. So again,
follow the people doesn't necessarily mean we have to follow what they exactly did. We have to follow what they taught, right? Follow the personalities by following their instructions. Now, they have left the family life because they have a mission in life to accomplish. And that mission is a higher mission than just staying in a family life. When they have a... Forget about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many other great saints.
That's what they are saying, that if everybody start leaving their house, then what will happen?
You tell them you don't have to do that. I'm not asking you to leave the house. You don't have to do that. Stay in your house, but follow the instructions. By this, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited by his behavior also, by his teachings also. He instructed the Brahmana who wanted to leave with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I want to come with you, leaving everything. What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teach? Stay where you are, engage in the chanting of the holy name. You don't have to leave your occupation, leave your family life. Just stay where you are, just engage, add one thing. You don't have to leave out anything, just add one thing. Add the name of Krishna. Right now we are not in a stage that, okay, I will imitate into those great personalities, right? We cannot imitate those. That tomorrow onwards we will become renounced, leave the family life, leave the job, go to Vrindavan, stay like the Goswamis. We don't have to imitate them. We have to learn from their life, from their teachings, how we can implement something in our life.
Prabhupada has left their sons and daughters, but Prabhupada has got thousands of sons and daughters.
Because there is a vision, thousands. Right? If somebody is thinking, oh, only he is my son, he is my daughter, but for them, they consider the whole world as their son and daughter, right? They are looking at the spiritual spark, not just as a material body. We think, oh, this is my family, my wife, my son. But for the great saintly people, they consider everybody as their family. And they consider it as a bigger responsibility to deliver the whole world. For that purpose, they sometimes exhibit some qualities which are hard for ordinary person to understand. They do some activities, some instances in their life. For ordinary person, it is very hard to understand. So we should not consider them as ordinary living entities. And we have to learn through the agency of the spiritual master how we can digest that. From an ordinary person's point of view, yes, all these questions, all these scenarios, these things will be questionable. Right? It will be a little too much for our small brain to understand all that. But we can understand only through the agency of the great acharyas, from the medium of spiritual master, from the help of the other great sages, the devotees.
And even if, you know, any person who literally received pure love, no 99.99, 100% pure, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if that person renounce their family life and become a renunciate, sannyasi, actually he has no obligation. If he is a pure, he has no obligation. Because Bhagavad Gita Bhagavatam says that if any person who has dedicated their life for the love of Godhead, he has no obligation.
Okay, we will stop here. Thank you very much. If you have any other question or comment, maybe we can discuss during prasadam. Shri Raghunath Das Goswami ki, Shri Gopal Bhatt Goswami ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.